May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So, maybe many of you have been to quite a few churches in this town. Maybe, maybe not. It's hard to believe, but at one time that would have been almost scandalous. We live in a time when there's very little brand or denominational exclusivism. To visit another church is to be open-minded and accepting of diversity. So if you're a visitor here today, welcome. When this boy, who grew up in the Mennonite Brethren Church, married a Roman Catholic, it wasn't really a big deal. No one really questioned it on religious grounds, although in other ways, probably they did. I mean, there were some jokes at the wedding reception about, hey, your people used to burn our people at the stake. But, you know, it was all in good fun, just another burning at the stake joke. Well, joking aside, this kind of laissez-faire approach to church, to religion, to the Christian life has its upside, for sure. Most of us would agree that needless religious tribalism is something to be avoided. At the same time, the reason that religious tribalism has lost its teeth, if you will, in Western society has very little to do with a deep religious insight, like a revolution in our understanding of what unites us. Rather, it has a lot more to do with the fact that religious affiliation has very little emotional hold on us anymore. It is what we lose when our deep emotional connection to the church fades, and why that matters, that is the subject of my homily this morning. To set the context, in my last liturgical season with you, I'm focusing on some of the big aha moments of the Epiphany season. These are some, though not all, of the fundamentals. Indeed, last Sunday's sermon was called The Fundamental Questions. Now, of course, we could go through a whole course on what those fundamentals mean for our daily lives, but we can only pick and choose a few things and then bring them to light in only the most spare of ways in the time allotted in an Anglican homily. But I think it's still worth doing. So, 2 weeks ago at the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord, we talked about new identity. And then last week, the quest, if you will. And then today, belonging. What does it mean to belong? Now, these things are all related. Our identity and the journey we're on are fundamentally, there's that word again, shaped by who we do it with, who we belong to. Paul says this, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Now I'm going to get to where Paul is, but first I have to go in what will seem like the other direction, which may seem kind of weird to you. Because I have to say this, I do believe that which church we belong to actually matters. And so I have no trouble saying now, in my early old age, that I belong to the Anglican Church, and not to the Mennonite Brethren Church, the church that I grew up with. Putting it most bluntly, I think, sometimes at least, that it's quite a different Jesus that many pastors in my childhood church preach than the one I try to proclaim Sunday by Sunday, than the one I think most scholars would say is portrayed in not only in the New Testament, but in the great tradition that followed. Now, I could be wrong about that. Could be very much off base. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know and all of that. But that is my impression in talking with pastors in other churches. So, many of us here probably do believe, regardless of whether we visit other churches or not, that churches stand for different things. At the same time, deep in the postmodern world, many people are just not that passionate about that reality. To bring it to our setting here, they're not passionate about what Dirksen preaches versus what maybe Reverend Lori Martin will preach versus anyone else. And this isn't because we're not interested. It's just that we're only interested and not that emotionally invested. And if you ask why is it, we come back to this radical notion that underlies what Paul is talking about. I think if we're honest, we find it disturbing that anyone would claim to belong to anyone else. I mean, it kind of sounds like a cult. The only person we belong to is ourselves. Probably nothing else defines the modern age as starkly as that, at least in the West. To belong to another person would smack of subservience, of somehow giving up our personal agency, of not daring to make our own way in the world as individuals. So the reason I had to go in the opposite direction to Paul, at least to start with, is that what he says presupposes, assumes something I'm not sure we believe in our culture, that we belong to each other. In our society, we think, maybe, Paul, you didn't go far enough. We don't need to try and heal what you're talking about because it's not really a thing. We don't belong to anybody. And this is to be celebrated. We call it diversity. But, and this is why it's a fundamental, without the reality to which Paul points, the gospel is robbed of its deep purpose. And the world has no chance of becoming truly united in ways that can help us tackle fundamental issues of justice. And so here's what unfolds in the Epiphany season. We're made beloved daughters and sons in our baptism so that we can, not just in theory, but in reality, journey through life with brothers and sisters in Christ. So that we can, in truth, belong to each other. That is, to be the body of God, the body of Christ in the world. But when we don't have an emotional connection to the church, when we can just take it or leave it, mostly leave it these days, it's because we've not experienced that we're truly brothers and sisters. When Paul says what he says to the Corinthians, he's not imagining that the emotional connection with the church that they have needs to lessen, but that the emotional connection that has led to the divisions needs to be handled with a higher emotion, with healing love. The kind of love he will describe in his famous chapter 13 later in the letter. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. One of the ways we are impoverished in the postmodern world, in contrast to the world in Paul's day, is that we don't know really how to belong. In Paul's day, people belonged to guilds and clubs of various sorts. Most of them had initiation rites, dues, and expectations of commitment. They had as much hold on people as their families did. And for some of us in this room, we're of a certain age when we can remember that belonging to service clubs, community clubs, different organizations in our wider society really mattered, really helped form our identity. But now, it seems to me, we've put most of our emotional eggs in the nuclear family basket. And the nuclear family will always get the lion's share of our emotional attachments. I get that. But by putting all our eggs there, we actually become very fragile. We suffer from the lack of support that could come from truly having brothers and sisters with whom we can grow, serve, laugh, and learn. When we just belong to ourselves and to those in our immediate families, our stories begin and end with us. Now, I understand that the very idea of belonging to a church is risky, that it's easy to settle for a non-emotional attachment of convenience to a local church. By caring less, we'll get hurt less. But if we're going to come to know the joy of Christ, the love of Christ, and know the fulfillment of Christ, we have to reimagine and re-experience connecting and connection. Now, I'd be the first one to admit I don't have all the answers in that regard. Indeed, it's something that has to happen organically as we open ourselves to spiritual practices together over time. Let me put it this way. In wisdom, despite what we've experienced in the past, we can once again take risks of serving and listening, sharing and learning. Even if we don't agree with everything or feel super close emotionally with certain or most folks, it is from those kinds of commitments that resilience grows. And even our relationships within our nuclear family, the emotional attachments we have there become more balanced, become healthier when we're not only defined by them. And we see this reality played out in our gospel reading today, right? This pull and push of nuclear families together and Jesus calling people out from them. Belonging to each other is the training in love that makes our lives non-defensive and truly open. And the claim of the New Testament is that belonging is not taking away from who we are, but the necessary structure that enables us to thrive, to come into the abundance of Christ's promises. Today, around the world, begins the week of prayer for Christian unity. But to pray for unity only matters if we belong. So here's a question that can open up your life and change your life. It's a question you can have in conversation with your partner and family. Who do you truly belong to and why? Amen.